Dear brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, I think most of us would agree here that we live in a fairly noisy world. Maybe there's times in your life where you just feel like plugging your ears, maybe when for some of you or grandkids are over, or great-grandkids, there's lots of noise, or maybe for some of you parents at meal times, I know there's times I want to just put on noise-canceling headphones. I think we agree, there's times that our lives are noisy. But my question to you this morning is, how are you on the inside? Is your soul noisy? As you walked through the doors and came and sat down in the pew, do you have a noisy soul? You know, it's fairly quiet right now, but if we could flip things inside out, and if we could listen in to the noise of our souls, how loud would it be this morning? As we think about what's going on deep inside, maybe some of you have worries and fears and stresses and pressures. Maybe right now it's even hard to focus. You're thinking about the stresses of last week or the week to come. Maybe you're noisy because there's all kinds of things you need to do. You have a lot on your plate, and as you think about this coming week and months, you wonder how you're going to get through. Maybe you're noisy on the inside because you are thinking about the past and you have some regrets, things that didn't go the way you wanted them to go. You're noisy, you're churning as you think about those things. Maybe you're noisy on the inside because you're restless. Maybe you're not content with your job, with your place in life. Maybe some of you young people and kids, you're not content with how school's going. You're restless. Maybe some of you are noisy because of hurt done to you in the past. Maybe you're carrying deep scars, emotional scars. Maybe some of you are noisy on the inside as you think about the future, and there's worry, there's fears. You wonder how things are going to turn out. You wonder how God is going to lead. Maybe some of you are noisy on the inside because you're carrying deep sorrow. Maybe a long time ago or recently, a loved one has passed away, and there's a churning in your soul. So how is your soul this morning? How noisy are you on the inside? Well, this morning, we find a place where we can have rest for noisy and restless souls. Psalm 131, David, the author, inspired by the Holy Spirit, he invites us into his life and into the inner workings of his soul. And he teaches us how people with noisy, restless souls can find peace. So let's look at this psalm in more detail this morning. Psalm 131. We'll look in the first place, first point at the background, a little bit of the psalm so we understand what's going on. So I've mentioned this already. You saw in the heading there, it's a song of ascents. Literally, it's a song of going up. So these are songs that pilgrims around Israel and Judah, they would sing these as they made their way to Jerusalem. So they went to Jerusalem three times a year for these big feast days, and the road up to Jerusalem went up. Jerusalem was around 3,000 feet above sea level, so that's why these songs are literally called going up songs, because they're making their way up, up through valleys, slowly making their way to Jerusalem. And they're singing then in these songs, this collection, Psalm 120 to 134, they're singing out their faith. They're clinging to the promises of God, because you have to understand that these pilgrims didn't have it easy. In the first place, even these roads that they traveled on to Jerusalem were treacherous. There was enemies around. There was robbers. There were people that would take them out. You can imagine going on a treacherous road down into a dark valley where you can't even see the bottom, and you wonder what's lurking there as you go there with not just yourself, but your little ones. But not only that, but these pilgrims were at times wondering what God was doing in their life. You can read about this in various instances in these Psalms of Ascent. I'll give you some examples. Psalm 120, verse 1, you read there, I call on the Lord in my distress. Psalm 123, you read, I lift my eyes to you. Have mercy on us, O Lord. Have mercy on us, for you have endured much contempt. Psalm 130, one we read, out of the depths I cry to you, O Lord. Psalm 132, so we also read, for your sake, for the sake of David, do not reject your anointed one. The point is, these pilgrims, as they made their way to Jerusalem, were suffering. They didn't always understand what God was doing. As they looked around them, and you know, if you know your history of the people of Israel, well, there were high times, the time of Solomon, but then slowly it seemed like everything was crumbling. It seemed like the monarchy was falling apart. It seems like God wasn't making good on his promises. There were enemies all around that were attacking God's people, and they were winning the battles. And so picture yourself a weary pilgrim on your way to Jerusalem on treacherous roads, and you're wondering what's going on. Things don't seem to make sense. God doesn't seem to be making good on his promises to you. Their souls were noisy. And that also goes for the one who wrote this psalm many years before these pilgrims made their way to Jerusalem. We read a song of ascents, and then the next thing, of David. So this is a psalm of David. He wrote this one. And if you know anything about David's life, you know that his life was not easy at all. You can think about right off after he's anointed to be king that Saul is pursuing him. Imagine that someone is pursuing you all the time. Imagine as you're sitting right now, you know that there's someone out there looking for you that wants you dead. Then later on in David's life, as he's king, his family is falling apart. Absalom is trying to take over the throne. There's rivalries between his children, and it seems like his whole family's a mess. David's soul, like the souls of these pilgrims making their way to Jerusalem, was noisy, was restless. But David then teaches us what to do in this psalm. The second point then is he teaches us what not to do. Second point then, what David doesn't do. See that in verse 1. He says, O Lord, my heart is not lifted up, my eyes are not raised too high. Is this an expression in the Hebrew of talking about pride? David is saying, I've not lifted my eyes too high, I'm not trying to take the place of God. He's learned that God is in control and that he cannot demand to understand everything. And he fleshes that out in the next part of verse 1. He says, I do not occupy myself with things too great and too marvelous for me. So David has learned that a noisy soul is a soul that's trying to figure everything out. A soul that is occupied and fixated on trying to figure out what God is doing in the past and what he will do in the future. Maybe your souls are noisy this morning because of that, because you're fixated on things that are actually outside of your control. You're occupying your mind and your heart with things that are too wonderful, too great, or as it can be translated, too difficult for you. Maybe your souls are noisy this morning because you're putting on your plate things that only belong on God's plate. You want to control the uncontrollable. You want to figure every little detail out in your life. And so, dear brothers and sisters, to learn contentment, we need to learn to first stop fixating ourselves on things that are outside of our control. To stop putting things on our plate that belong on God's plate. You know, often I think we're like children in the back seat of a vehicle. You know, maybe you have experienced this at times where your kids are really little, babies. They're not asking any questions of where you're driving or why you turned there or why you went a different way home than you normally did. But as they grow older, we've experienced this. My kids are very critical of my driving. They ask questions of, why aren't you slowing down? The light's red, or it's green now, hurry up, let's go. Or why are you going this way instead of that way? I think for us, as we grow older at times, instead of quietly being there in the back seat, knowing that our Father is taking care of us and leading us to where we need to be, we become like noisy children in the back, demanding answers to what God is doing in our life. Brothers and sisters, to have souls that are quieted, we need to leave the big things to God. Your duty as you go from here is to, whatever it is that you're doing, do it with your might, working for the Lord. But your duty is not to figure out everything in your life. Your duty is not to occupy and fixate and have your mind constantly churning on things that are outside of your control, because that will lead to noisy, restless souls. Our duty is to preoccupy ourselves with Christ, with wanting to live for Him, wanting to love Him, wanting to serve Him, wanting to bring every single part of our life into service for Him. So that's the first thing we learn for noisy souls, what not to do. But then David teaches us what he does instead of what he doesn't do. So verse 2, he says, "But I have calmed and quieted my soul. I have calmed and quieted my soul." And it's interesting that the word calmed can also be translated as leveling something that was bumpy or something that was rugged. So when David says here that he's calming and quieting his soul, we get the idea that this is a struggle. This has been a struggle for him, that his soul by nature was, you could say, bumpy, and he's learning to level it. He's learning to calm it. And he teaches us how, and he gives us a beautiful picture here. Second part of verse 2. "So I have calmed and quieted my soul." And he says, "I am like a weaned child with its mother. Like a weaned child is my soul within me." Like a weaned child with its mother. And it's important to know, at the time of David, they would have weaned their children at the age of 3 or 4. And so you can imagine the fuss these children would put up when it doesn't seem to make sense what their mom is doing, that no longer they're giving the food they want and giving them solids. And you can probably picture some of you moms trying to picture a 3 or 4 year old trying to wean a 3 or 4 year old, of the fuss they would put up. But David says his soul is like that 3 or 4 year old child that he has to comfort and quiet, like a mother saying to their 3 or 4 year old, "Shh, I know this doesn't make sense to you, but I've got you. I'm all you need, and I love you, so trust me." You know, this picture is such a powerful picture. You think also not just of David's life, but as we mentioned earlier, that these pilgrims, as they're making their way to Jerusalem, and there's many accounts that parents would be carrying their little ones as they walked on these treacherous roads, these dark roads through valleys. And you can picture right now then one of these parents looking down at their little one, their weaned child, upon their shoulder and saying to themselves, "Yes, the path looks dark. Yes, things seem to be unraveling. Yes, God's promises don't seem to be coming to fruition. Yes, there's enemies round about and it's dangerous, yet like this little child is upon me, so I am upon my Father. Find rest, my soul, in God alone. Be still, my soul, with all your frettings and all your worries, because like this little one is sleeping there on your shoulders, trusting you, so I can put myself on God, knowing that He loves me, that He cares for me, that every single one of His promises always come to pass." Well, David teaches us what he does. And then in The last place, verse 3, we see what David waits for. Verse 3, O Israel, hope in the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. Hope in the Lord. You see here, that's like David is first teaching us about the inner workings of his soul. And now in verse 3, it's like he looks at us all, looks at God's people, and he's telling us to learn the same thing he learned. He says to all of you, put your hope in God alone. Put your hope in God alone, because the situation you might be in now, however dark and gloomy and hopeless it feels, does not have the final say. Put your hope in God, because as we read in the previous Psalm 2, because with God there is steadfast love and redemption. David in this text encourages all who are listening. He says, God is worth putting your hope in. No matter how dark your situation in, your situation that you are in is, God's promises are still yes and amen. You know, you could think, maybe of an analogy. Today it's raining. It rained yesterday. Feels gloomy, dark. Maybe that affects your mood. But all of us here know that even though it's raining, we know that the sun is still shining. And if you're not convinced, you can go on a plane. Did that last week, and it always boggles my mind that as you go up into the sunshine, even if it's raining. And so it is for your life and my life, that no matter how dark and gloomy your life is right now, the light of God's promises are still shining on you. He loves you. His steadfast love is for you. He will care for you. He is your Father. And you know, David didn't even know the full picture of the story. The pilgrims, as they made their way to Jerusalem, they didn't know the full picture, but we here can look back and see the steadfast love of God displayed. We can see that God is worth putting our full hope into, because we know that through Jesus Christ, he broke through into history and he showed how far he was willing to go to bring us to himself. You can see that already in the psalm, hints that point to Jesus Christ. We can see Christ in the psalm in two different ways. If you're taking notes, two different ways. The first way we can see that Christ himself learned what David learned. Christ is fully God, but also fully man. And in his human nature, as we read Hebrews 5, he learned obedience from what he suffered. Jesus, our elder brother, in his human nature, he wrestled perfectly and sinlessly, but he wrestled to put his hope in his Father. He needed to say to his soul, find rest in God alone, because he will take care of you. And think of the trials and the darkness in the life of Jesus Christ. Think about him in the Garden of Gethsemane as he cries out. He says, my soul is overwhelmed to the point of death. Jesus, whose soul was overwhelmed as he thought about the cross and what he would have to do there. And yet he learned, yet not what I will, but what you will, Father. He learned like a child to be upon his Father. And so I pray that through this psalm you hear his voice. You hear the voice of Jesus speaking to you this morning, saying, join me as your dear elder brother in learning to find peace and rest in God my Father. Let not your hearts be troubled or afraid. Believe in God. Believe in me. Your Father loves you with the same love he has for me. Trust him and love him, because he will protect you. He will hold you fast. He will get you through, because he did that for me. And oh, how it looked so dark for a while on the cross. And yet he brought me through. Because he did that for Jesus, his one and only son, he will do that for you. So we see Jesus in this psalm that he himself learned perfectly and sinlessly what David learned. But secondly, we see him in the psalm because he loved us so fully that he was willing to be denied the peace and contentment that a child can have upon their parent so that we might enter God's family. He could not, as it were, go upon the Father like a weaned child, but instead he was rejected, he was cast out because all of your sin was upon him. Every single one of your sins, the things you've thought, the things you've done, the things you've said, it was all laid upon Jesus Christ. And so he was cast out of his Father's presence. He was cast out of the family. He could not have that quiet contentment of a child being upon their parent. And he did that so that you might run to the Father every time and know that his arms are open in Jesus Christ. Ephesians 1 verse 5, we read that the Father adopted us unto himself. He didn't just adopt us and leave us over there, but he adopted us unto himself like a loving parent holding their little one. But he did that by bringing the greatest nightmare upon himself, by giving his only son to die. And so, brothers and sisters, if God was willing to do that, you can put your hope in him. If David already long ago knew and called us all to put our hope in God, how much more reason do we not to have to put all of our hope in God? To wait for him. Are you waiting for your God? Are you waiting for the day that Jesus Christ will be revealed? Are you putting your hope, all of your hope, not in things of this world, but in the return of Christ? Hope only in the Lord. I think especially of young people, you probably are tempted to wait for and hope for other things in this life that you hope will fill the void, the emptiness in your hearts. Maybe you're restless and you feel like you want something and yet you're restless and you're not getting it. Maybe you try to fill the hole in your heart and your soul and try to quiet the noise by running after idols of this world. Alcohol or sexual pleasures or other things, maybe even good things for some of us. Maybe it's even our children and other things that we're putting our hope in to quiet our noisy souls. But you will only find hope in God. You will only find peace and rest for your restless souls, for your noisy souls, in God, as we see him in Jesus Christ. And so, if your soul is noisy this morning, then pray for the Spirit to put the floodlights on Christ. Pray that he might draw you to the one that we heard at the beginning of the service who said, "Come to me, you who are weary and burdened, and you will find rest, eternal rest, everlasting rest for your souls." And in the hard times of life, when your souls are noisy, and it's going to happen again and again, in those times, say to your soul, "Be still, soul. Shh. Because your God is on your side. Be still, my soul. Bear patiently the cross of grief or pain. Leave to your God to order and provide. In every change, he faithful will remain. Be still, my soul. Your God will undertake to guide the future as he has the past. Be still, my soul, when dearest friends depart and all is darkened in the veil of tears. Because then you will better know his love, his heart, who comes to soothe your sorrows and your fears. Be still, my soul. The hour is hastening on when we shall forever be with the Lord. When disappointment, grief, and fear are gone, sorrow forgot, love's purest joys restored. Be still, my soul. Amen. Let's sing together in response the words of Psalm 131, 1, 2, and 3.